Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. How about
I hope you're thinking that way tonight, is to make Jesus your everything. And that's what we are. It's our goal. That's what we're striving to do, is let him become our main focus in life, our reason for living. And we were singing another song, that first chorus, about the storms of life, and only Jesus, you know, can take us through those things, storms that we have that happen to us, and the sooner we realize that, the better we are. If we can realize that Jesus is our answer, our comfort. The Holy Ghost is our comforter, but he also comforts through the Holy Ghost. That's how he comforts us through things that happen to us in life. I wish I could tell you that from now on out, nothing's going to happen to you, but I won't tell you that, because things are going to happen to you. You know, we just have to, somebody said you have to brace yourself in this life. Some of the things are, some things are good. If we can look at it, some people say some things, all things are good, either good to us or good for us. You know, it's just how you want to look at it. So anyway, I like to say, I would like to say I enjoy everything in life, but I don't. But I know if I can position myself. Some people say that, you know, when trouble comes, if you just begin to step up, and it'll help elevate you. Troubles in life, you know, you can just kind of get above your trouble, it'll elevate you. So you can, however you want to look at it, you know, if you can don't let your troubles get you down. Somebody said, they used to sing a song around here that, never let your troubles get you down. And that's what we're doing. With God's help, with Jesus' help, we can fulfill that. We can face things head on. So tonight, Brother Smith is in, I believe he's still on his way to Republic, Missouri. So, yeah. Okay. Brother Smith and Brother Joel is on the way to Republic. And he said Brother Mark Boyd and Brother York. Jerry York. He's got, Mike says, ox in the ditch. Brother Thompson working late. Ma'am? The Goldens are working? All right. Remember them? And I think Brother Durham's mother. Anybody get that?
Yeah, Brother Durham's mother passed away, and they're trying to get a flight out.
Tonight, right? I mean, this evening, wasn't it?
She passed away this evening.
This evening, yeah. Because Matt was in here, and he said it just like 30 minutes ago. So it's been probably an hour ago. But remember them. Pray for them. You know, in this time we're living in, you know, when things happen that far away, California, it's not like you can just take off tonight and go there. So they have to plan for that and pray for them that they'll be able to do whatever they have to do, need to be done, and pray that God will help them in that situation. Sister Linda. Sister Wilkins. Yes, Sister Wilkins and Brother Ray Valdez. Brother Fred Stewart, yeah, he's recovering, Brother Weiniger said, from his knee.
He's recovering.
He's in pain. Remember Brother Fred Stewart tonight. Pray for him. Brother Phil. Sister Jennifer, need prayer. Okay. Pray for her. Sister Angela. Tomorrow. Remember Sister Angela having surgery tomorrow. Sister Abraham. All right, remember, Sister Abraham's daughter, Nicole, and the rest of her family. All right, Sister Ryla, your family as well, all right. Remember these needs tonight. God will help his people. Sometimes I look at, you know, needs that we, you know, that we know about. There's a lot of people needs that we don't know about, but I feel like it keeps us praying, keeps us on our knees, and which is not a bad thing. We're praying to God, and you know, puts it in our heart, because we sometimes have to feel that burden. You know, we should feel a burden for one another, and when one's sick, we all should feel that and lift them up to the Lord. I was listening to Brother Painter's son tonight. He was, you know, he was being modest about, you know, being, his wife said he was saying he was mean. But anyway, I know he's not mean, but anyway, I in relation to what he was saying, I was thinking it's been a long time ago that one sister, I don't think she's even living now, but anyway, she told my wife to tell Brother Tyler, you need to smile sometime. You know, you smile when he's up here. I didn't know I wasn't smiling, but anyway, it's good to smile. It's good to smile, and I know we get under pressure. You know, we begin to feel the burden of things. It you know, sometimes you don't feel like smiling, but it helps, you know, to be able to smile and begin to think about the goodness of God. And God, we're still here. We're in the land of the living, first of all, and we're here to where we can pray for other people. You know, we have the opportunity to reach out and be concerned with one another's burdens and show our love. Like I said, we may not be able to fix everything, but we sure can pray. We sure can lift up their name before the Lord in prayer and that really helps us. You know, when we begin to reach out for someone else, it does something, you know, to you or to me, and to make me feel like I'm useful. I heard, you know, Sister Jackie used to tell us all the time. She, you know, what, you know, talk about her use in the kingdom of God, and she always talk about prayer and praying for her brothers and sisters. So let's remember these needs tonight. And is there any other prayer requests? I know we got an outstanding list that we have. I was thinking about Brother and Sister Dotson being here the weekend last Sunday, and pray for them. Sister Lace. All right, two special unspoken requests. Aunt Susie, all right. Keep praying. All right, let's remember. Keep praying for Aunt Susie. Sister, is it Gaither? Gaylor. I know the G, right? A J. Okay. You got a house? Do what now? Oh, that. Oh, praise the Lord. Very good. Thank the Lord. Very good. Brother DJ. All right. Remember, Sister Catherine. All right. Okay. Is there any other needs? We'll stand here, and I don't know about the ushers. About the ushers, you brethren. Let's pray and ask that God will help his people. Father in heaven, we thank you this night, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you, Lord. And then, Lord, we ask that you help your people. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. We reach out to you this night, Lord, knowing that you can help our every need. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, God, touch your people with the Spirit. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, Lord. Jesus, Sister Wilson. Lord, I touch you. Brother Junior, down there, Lord, help him. Precious Savior, thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child. With a heavenly home, my holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of God.
Well, I didn't have too much on my mind tonight, or felt inspired to give any thoughts of inspiration, but I want to work for the Lord, and I want to be a willing vessel and lift my voice in praise, that I know that I'm a child of the King, and that He's my God, my Father, and He is looking out for me. And it's hard to sometimes explain that to people. Sometimes people think you may be arrogant, but it's very humbling to be called and chosen of God to be His child, and Him to call you out. And they don't understand that the call is to many, and so it's not by our works that we're saved, the Bible says, but it's through grace, by grace through faith we are saved. His wonderful grace and mercy reached out to me, and my faith in believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and my profession of that, the Lord saved me, as is described in Romans 10. You know, that sounds real simple in Romans 10, but there's many facets to it that he doesn't go into, as far as obedience to the word of being baptized and receiving the Holy Ghost and obeying the words of Christ. We've got many words to obey. Christ shows the spiritual life, the Christian life, and Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Those are the quick verses. They're on the other Gospels too. To show that to live in the spiritual man, to follow Christ, is far exceeds what you could do in the natural. The difference between the law and grace is, you know, thou shalt not kill, but under grace, if you say raka, you're guilty of the judgment. So it isn't that we've got to strive to be better than the Pharisees through human effort. Because human effort won't get you there. As far as the carnal efforts of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people who were under the law, they strived with carnal efforts to obtain a righteousness. But they couldn't obtain it. And so, Paul said it was through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh. I don't think we've arrived there yet. I believe we still subdue the flesh through carnal means. We've gotten there, and the Lord has helped us in some spiritual measure, a measure of truth, of overcoming. But we've got so much further to go. I believe that's where we're going to obtain in a restored church, of going across the threshold. It won't be so much through human efforts, but it'll be through a miraculous higher power deliverance efforts of being delivered out of the old man into the new. We sing that song, "My Life is Changing from the Old into the New." But we haven't produced an overcoming church yet. We haven't produced a church that a spotless lamb present to Christ. If we would have, Christ would have came back for the church. So we're holding steadfast in faith that this message of the restoration of the church and that in a sinless life, I believe now I'd have to. come up with the deductive reasoning, so to speak. If we've got all the truth, then this is as far as we're going to go. The truth that we have right now won't take us any further than where we're at. We've got more revelations yet to come. Are we going to be open? I hope that this people, this ministry and our leadership, and that we are not old wineskins, that we could not receive new wine to store in our vessels that would take us on to a greater. But there's going to be I believe, you know, when you kind of hear how the church fell away and how the church should be restored, it almost sounds like a slow evolutionary process, how it went out and how it came back in. But if you really think about it, to be ushered in, I believe it's not going to be evolutionary but revolutionary. And it'll be a great revelation come before, and signs and wonders to follow. And I don't want to be closed-minded, though. It may not come in a way, you know, you could miss it. It could come and we could miss it. I want to be tender to the Lord. I want to lend a spiritual ear. Now, to say that, we'd have to kind of hypothesize or theorize that if this is where we're at today and the Lord has not gave us any more truth than where we're at today, then we need to, I accept that. I accept that. The Lord's got us where we are today. I wasn't born 200 years ago. I wasn't, not yet, not going to be born in 20 or 30 years, but I'm right here today where I'm at. And He's still my God. He's still my Father. Even the faithful Jew that was serving God in Babylon in captivity was still God's child, chosen people of God that was serving Him in faith. That was the real seed of Abraham. Those that served God in faith. Not the one that was just born a Jew, that had no, that lived after the manner of Gentiles, but was a Jew naturally, but those who believed in the God of Abraham, who followed after the covenant of Abraham, and kept the ordinances and the law of God to the best of their ability, because they believed in God the Father, that He was their God, and they would have no other gods before Him. Well, I want to live my life in the same faith-like manner before God. God, what do You have for me today? What is the manna that You're going to feed me today to sustain me in this wilderness before we cross over Jordan? And a lot of the Jews in the wilderness, they would they got sick of manna. They wanted something else. But they weren't across Jordan yet. They weren't where the land of the big giant grapes the size of basketballs were. It's almost how they describe a big clusters of grapes that drag the ground, you know. They weren't there. That land flowing with milk and honey wasn't time for them to go across. And so we're sustained on manna. But I'm looking for a time when God crosses, splits Jordan, and the people cross and go to the other side in a church, restored church. But, you know, God has kept a people. He has sustained a people throughout the Dark Ages and through the Reformation. I happen to I kind of like science and those types of things. And so a program caught my eye as I'm scanning the guide, and it was something about Sir Isaac Newton. So I clicked on Sir Isaac Newton, found out that he spent a lot of his spare time when he wasn't in other sciences, you know, figuring out gravity, but one of his main hobbies and passions, his passion was Bible prophecy. And he was around the time, his era, he was born in like 1670-ish and died in the early, about 1720-something. And, or a little longer than that, you could look it up. But he kept his beliefs hid, his religious writings hid, because he knew they would have been considered heresy in that day. One of the things he believed in is he believed in two in the Godhead. He didn't believe in a literal devil. He also, in Bible prophecy, in the book of Daniel and Revelation, time and half a times, 1260 years is how he interpreted that back in the 1600s. And he prophesied that the nation of Israel would be restored to their own land in 1944. He was only off by 4 years. He didn't use the word rapture, but he said there would be a resurrection in 2034. And he said Armageddon would hit in 2060. That was a prophecy. The book of Revelation interpreted of the prophecy by Sir Isaac Newton, who was a renowned scientist, and he was over Britain's mint of minting all their coins during his time. He was assigned, but he kept his beliefs hid, and a lot of those papers weren't published until the late 1700s. Well, after his death, his family he kept it hid until after that they found all of his papers, because to not believe in the Trinity was heresy, and did not believe in that. I found that very, very interesting, and it shows that God had people. He kept a righteous line. He kept people of faith, and he's a just God, and I'm glad to be serving a just God. And so I just wanted to share those thoughts with you tonight, and I really didn't know what I was going to say. I just got up here and started rambling. I started mumbling. And I appreciate, you know, I know we don't have a lot of people here tonight, but there's a lot of people gone, but it still seems like there's a lot of people here. So that's pretty good. We can have about 20 people gone, 20 or 30 people out here on a Wednesday night, and you still got a good crowd. Makes me feel good about our church. It was sure was good, and sure good to see the Dotsons here on Wednesday night. And sister, was that Sister Linda that put a picture of her on Facebook? And I said, well, she can smile, because she did smile. And I thought, now if that's her good smile, then I can see why she says, "Well, I'm just people, maybe I'm smiling, and on the inside, people don't know it." But somebody told that story about, I think it was maybe Brother Phil. I'm not sure. Was it? He was up here. Anyway, I better sit down before I end up snaring myself. It's good to be here.
They were talking about the 144,000 being made up, and they didn't feel like there was any more room left for any more. And I didn't understand exactly what they were talking about, because it was like either when I was first new to the body or before I came to the body. And then to think of 144,000 people, you know, I thought, oh, that's a lot of people, you know. And then when Brother Lineker began to talk and said, that's not very many people, think about from the time, you know, and there to in the future that's going to be made up, that's not very many. And he began to talk on 144,000 churches, and I got a bigger revelation. And then I thought, then where are all those people going to come from? You know? But when I hear things like that, we don't know how many people have this revelation. We feel, and I feel, that I'm a part, and I'm thankful to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ, but I know that I'm just a little insignificant nothing, and I know that he's got this vast plan, and it takes all the little nothings to become something to for this plan to become fulfilled. And I was listening when he was talking about that, and I thought, how many other people do we run into, do we know, do we hear about, that we don't know, that has that revelation, that have these truths but don't know that they have these truths? But you know, God knows. He knows more about me than I know about myself. He has the plan, and he's got it all laid out. And the more I hear about it, the more I become humbled to think that he looked down one day and he looked down and saw insignificant nothing and gave me this opportunity to become one with every one of you and one with his ultimate plan as my goal. I just wanted to stand tonight to say how thankful I am. How thankful I am that he looked down upon my life one day and brought me this way.
Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight and to give, as DJ said, a little progress report. Mom said she heard half the service, so half is better than none. And that one thing that she did was feel the Spirit. And I've always had a little debate with her the whole time when she's not wanting to come. I thought, I don't care if you can't hear, you can always feel the Spirit. But, you know, that's one of my little things I was debating about. And be thankful that, is it Steve? Okay, that little Steve got the Holy Ghost Sunday night. And that's a good thing. I was 7 when I got the Holy Ghost. I don't know how young you are. 12, cool. So, but still, he got it. And Christ was 12 when he talked to the lawyers. So, well, look out, lawyers, here you come. But I'm thankful that I'm here tonight. And as Sister Tally made reference of the 144,000, boy, we got a better chance. Because Brother Lineker always made reference that it's going to be the sands of the sea. Not just 144,000 individuals, but 144,000 virgin churches. So I'm thankful for that, and I might be going out on the limb, but hopefully I'm not. When Mike made reference of being the child of a king, and thank God I'm a Gentile, because just think, 2,000 years ago, where was us Gentiles at? We were just considered strangers. If we even was in amongst the Jewish people, we were the strangers. But thank God for Christ dying on the cross and having us, here's where I'm going out on the limb, the spiritual divorcement to the Jewish people, and finally marrying the Gentiles so he could bring the Holy Ghost into existence. And then for the future, that we're going to at least have a restored church. That's what I'm looking for, is a restored church. And I could bore you to death with the history of the church, but I'm not going to tonight. But just as Mike was making reference of Sir Isaac Newton, also Galileo, he said, okay, I give up, I recant. But the Catholic Church made him recant some of his scientific discoveries because the world just wasn't ready for it yet. So I'm thankful I'm here tonight, and thankful that we had a great spirit Sunday. And I thought, well, hey, it's one of those nights that I can probably get up and put in my 2 or 3 cents or no cents at times. But I'm thankful I'm here tonight, and just very thankful of the feeling that we had. And pray that Mom feels as good as she did last weekend, and if things go well, she'll be here next Sunday. I don't know if it'll be the morning service or the evening service, but she's at least wanting to be here next Sunday, so I'm thankful.
Today, I was actually last year talking about whenever I got the Holy Ghost last year, actually on the way home from the youth meeting on the bus, I got home, I told my brother and stuff, but like I said at the youth meeting before about our house burning down, about saying that my brother listened. We had this music tape, and he was talking, and these people were speaking in tongues. He's like, well, Mom, why is that guy speaking funny? She's like, that's the Holy Ghost. And right after he said that, I thought he would never ever get the Holy Ghost. But Sunday, he surprised me coming down front, and I'm thankful he got the Holy Ghost, because I'm not the only one in stuff, but I'm so thankful he got the Holy Ghost, because it's just a blessing for all of us to get it. It just makes our life a whole bunch more different and stuff. So yeah, and really, really thankful that we got this house, and it took us 5 hours to get us programmed into school today. And found out that we have to wear uniforms, which is going to be kind of different, since we're used to dressing up how we like to. So yeah, I'm just thankful for being here today.
I'm thankful to be here tonight and to feel this good covering that we have. May not be jumping and shouting like it was Sunday night, but wasn't that a wonderful, wonderful covering that we had here Sunday night? Thank God for it. I appreciate this church and what's going on here. God is touching our minds. I appreciate what Brother Mike Smith was saying there a while ago concerning, you know, we're where we're at because of the revelations that we have, and this is not all of it. You know, there's, I believe, wasn't it Brother Smith that made mention the other day that, how'd he put that? He said, do not, set your goals and level off here as though this is a restored church. I think that's the way he put it. Maybe that's my words for it, but anyway, just let's don't think that this is all of it, because God still got something else for us. And you know, as we go along, we're going to get some more revelations. You realize that? We're going to hear some more things that we haven't heard before. We've read them, we've looked at them, but for some reason we haven't seen them. You know, I think it's God's way of just kind of, you know, kind of like if you're going in to get your eyes checked, and which I did that yesterday. When you sit down in that chair and they put this deal in front of your face, they change the lenses in that machine that they have, and they ask you a question: can you see better with this or with this? You know, and you have to make a choice. I can see better with the other one, or this one's better. And I think that God is doing that with us on purpose. If he wanted the church restored today, or, well, he couldn't do it today, but, you know, he'd have to give us at least 2 or 3 days to notice, wouldn't you think? You know, we're just, I'm not sure that we're really prepared to cross the threshold, what I'm trying to say, without being real harsh about it. But we're wanting to go on. We're wanting to climb high. We're wanting to get more knowledge, more understanding. And, you know, this is not to say that we don't have a lot better understanding than most of the church world has. You know, we can take most people and just tie them in knots. You know, back several months ago, maybe a couple of years ago, I was channel surfing one morning, and this preacher read this scripture, and I was kind of curious as to what he was going to say about it. Where Jesus made the statement, he said, "I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." Now, this was his explanation. Folks, our lives goes in cycles. You know, we hit peaks, and then we go down into a valley, and then we come back up to a peak. You know, this is our life cycle. He said what Jesus meant by that statement was that our peaks are going to be here, our lows are going to be there. Peaks here, lows there. I thought, my God, how dumb can a man be to believe that that's all that Jesus had in his mind when he said that I come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. If your life cycle just peaks higher and lower, you haven't gained anything. I haven't gained anything. Because we're still, when we get the percentage there, we're still going to be on the same level. Correct? You know, if you're running 60 and 40 and 60 and 40 and 60 and 40, your average is going to be 50. Well, if you change that and you're running 90 and 10, your average is still going to be 50. You haven't gained anything. But I think that Jesus was talking about that life that he shed on the cross of Calvary, that God accepted. And when he went to heaven and he prayed the Father and he sent the Holy Ghost back here, I think that's the life he's talking about. That we felt here last Sunday night, that covering, that life. You can't find that out in the world. Don't look for it out there. Don't waste your time. Some of the rest of us that's been out there, we can tell you, can't we, Brother Daniels? Don't look for it out there. It's not there. That's not the life that God's people will ever be satisfied with. When you come in here and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become a child of God. I appreciate that song that Brother Smith sung a while ago. I'm a child of the King. Every time that I hear that song, there's something that touches my heart, because I know down in my heart that I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. Amen. Amen. I'm not one of his best children. May not be one of the worst, you know. But I'm still a child of God. That's what I want to emphasize. Look, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you become a child of God. And if you go out into the world, I don't care where you go, you're still a child of God. And God's going to deal with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You'll wish he could. Wish he would, maybe, but he won't, because you're his child. You know? And this is a thing that people don't understand about God, I think, is because they think of him as being way up yonder and I'm just a little bitty nobody down here. He doesn't care that much about me. But when you get the Holy Ghost, it makes you his child. Did you know that my wife and I left our home one night after 10 o'clock? Drove all the way to the other side of Memphis, Tennessee, because one of our grandchildren, well, two of our grandchildren were missing. They wasn't even our children, but they were our grandchildren. They were missing. We got over there, what, about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess, up in there till nearly daylight. Finally, they found them. Brought them back home. Well, why did we make that trip? Why was it that important to us? They was our grandchildren. You're a child of God, and I don't care where you go, I don't care what you get involved in, you're still a child of God. And he's concerned about his children, just like my wife and I were concerned about our grandchildren. He's concerned about his children. And he is going to look out after you if you'll let him. Here's where most of us get in trouble. We think, well, God's way off over yonder someplace. He don't know what I'm fixing to do next. He really don't care anyway. You know, I think I'll just get into this. Well, let's leave that alone. Sister Tally struck a note in my mind a while ago concerning where in the world all these people are going to come from. Reminded me of an Old Testament prophet that he kind of got into trouble with powers that be, and he went off out in the woods to sit down under a tree, and he made this statement. Well, this is in 1 Kings 19th chapter, 4th verse. I'm not going to read it all, but he said that he sat down under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father." Do you know, when he made that statement, he thought he was the only one in the whole world that was serving God? I wonder if there's a possibility we could get that idea here in Little Rock. Look, we got lots of room here in this church. Is it possible that we're the only ones in the whole city of Little Rock and the surrounding area that's wanting to serve God? It's just us. We're the only ones that keep showing up here. Maybe we ought to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, it's enough. It's just take our lives.